and welcome back to another episode of Mass Monologues. Today, I have Mikkel Leslie with me. She's going to introduce herself and tell you what she does.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me on. Yes, my name is Mikkel Leslie, and I am an empowerment coach. What I love to focus on is helping middle-aged women who are struggling to find their power, their drive, their motivation. They're stuck in a routine where going from day to day, doing the same things over and over again, it doesn't motivate them. And so I come in and inspire them to live their life and take reins back to what they can create in their life. I have my book, Soar by Living Your Life, and that kind of explains my three philosophies in going about this process. And the first is understanding who you are. And I use human design to do that. The second is understanding your worthiness and breaking through any barriers that hold you back from feeling worthy. And then the third is understanding what it is that you want and getting after it.
I love that. I just want to ask, how did you get into this industry and why did you start?
Yes, it's been quite the journey. So I've been coaching for 5 years now, but I got my start in engineering, actually. So I have an environmental engineering degree, did it for about 9 months and knew that it wasn't for me at that point. And transitioned into sales and automation and did that for years. And then from there, my whole life at that point, I was driven by money. Being like, okay, money's going to solve all my issues. Growing up, we didn't have a ton and I always saw fights associated with money. And that was a big stressor for my parents. And so I just wanted to make money. And so the engineering was part of that. Sales was part of it. And I got to a point where I had paid off all my loans. I had made the money. I saw $30,000 in my account that I didn't know what to do with. And I was like, why am I continuing to do this? I'm stressed. I'm overwhelmed. I'm done. And at that point, I took some time off. I called it one of my early retirements. I backpacked in California for about 6 months, trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. And at that point, I realized that I wanted to help people and I wanted to be outdoors. So I actually transitioned to a wilderness therapy program where I backpack with kids and work other therapy outdoors. And there I learned all about your emotions, your thoughts, and the empowerment things that I teach my clients now, all these things that were never taught. And so after that, I realized that I had to teach people about this, teach my previous version of myself these things so we can enjoy our lives and not just have our heads down struggling through our everyday lives.
That's quite the diverse background you have there, from engineering to empowerment coaching. I want to know, what you said you work with middle-aged women. How do you go about empowering them? You said you have this three-step process. Can you elaborate on it? I'm not sure if it's three steps or if it's three areas and what you like to focus on with clients.
Of course. Yeah. So it is a three-step process and they're going to go back and forth as you go through them. But the first is really understanding who it is you are. A lot of us assume that we fit in this role of either wife or single person or a worker, being tied to your job and that being your role. But in reality, there's so much more to you. And I mentioned human design. That is an astrology-based system where you're able to really understand how it is that you work on different levels. And it's beautiful because it helps you to see who you are and who you're not. And the first time I understood and saw my human design, I cried because what I thought I saw as things that were wrong with me were just gifts, so the things that I can actually use to my benefit. And so it was beautiful to see that and realize that I have so many things to offer, that I can do so much. And so that was wonderful to be able to see that and understand it. And so now I teach my clients human design so they really understand how it is they work. And with this, it's wonderful because oftentimes we work against who we are. And so one part within human design is how you make decisions. And so with this, a lot of us make decisions with a plus or minus list of all the positive things, all the negative things, and then make a decision after that. But with human design, it shows you your unique way to make decisions. And so for me, I need to wait out my emotion. I need to wait to make sure that I can handle anything that occurs with it all. And so it was beautiful to be able to see that and understand all the different decisions that I made and what happened with them. It made sense that some of them didn't work out exactly as planned because I wasn't following how I best make decisions. So human design is a wonderful tool to be able to help with it all. The second step is to understand your worthiness. We are all worthy at the end of the day, beginning of the day, throughout your whole lives. But oftentimes we're put in situations where we question ourselves, we doubt things, or we're unsure about so much. So perfectionism comes in. We try to fit into the society's ideas of this perfect person, and it doesn't work. We put on costumes that don't fit us. And so there's so much that we need to be able to accept of ourselves and understand that we're worthy of our dreams, that we're worthy of the things that we desire in our life, and so much more. And so this is a whole breaking down of all the imposter syndrome, all the doubts, the fears, the concerns, the perfectionism, to be able to, for people to stand in their own skin and realize that I am worthy as I am, I'm worthy as I want, and I'm going to go out there and get it. And that gets into the third step, which is understanding what it is that you want. I find way too often that individuals, especially middle-aged women, don't really know what they want. And so it's beautiful to help them to uncover what are the things that drive them, what gets them excited, what are their values, and be able to do it in ways that work with them based off of their human design. And so it's beautiful to see and talk with individuals and be able to see what lights them up and have them be concerned and question and be like, I can't have that. That's not something that I can have. Yes, you can. And empower them to be able to step into that for themselves. And then create a plan for them to actually execute and make that happen based on their human design. So it all comes back together. And it is a beautiful process to watch someone step into who they're meant to be.
Yes, I love that. I want to ask a quick question. So all of this is primarily based off of people's astrology. Is that correct?
A little bit. So human design is actually a modality and includes several other ones. Astrology is a part of it, but not all of it. And so you don't actually get into the sign like Leo or Capricorn or any of the other ones. It has different language for itself, which is wonderful. Astrology for myself, I can't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. There's too much for it all. And so human design allows me to understand things a lot better and easier. And I find for my clients, that's the case as well.
Okay, so now that I know astrology factors into it, what else factors into human design? Could it be your personality, your past careers, maybe what emotion you tend to take on? Does that play into it?
No, so it's actually just based off your birth date and time as well as your location. So very similar to astrology with that. So it's not based off of any inputting questions or your state of being or what's going on in your life. It is a more soul-orientated view of your life and what's going on.
And have you ever found that maybe one birth date sign has not held truth to a certain individual, or has it been mostly the same for the birthday that person was born on? Is it applicable to everybody, this human design process?
Yes, it is. It's really cool to see different ones. I was actually talking to a friend the other day, and she was saying, I see myself in all the different things within human design says, what's wrong, what's going on? And I told her, because of her human design, that's what happened, is that she picks up on everything else. And it's wonderful and a little challenging for some individuals to see and be like, okay, this is who I am and how I work. And for most of their life, they've been working their life in a way that goes counterproductive to it, which means they're probably seeing a lot of stress, a lot of things that aren't aligning for them, not getting the success that they want to within their life, within their business, whatever it is. And so it's wonderful to be able to come in and show them, this is how you work, and be able to show them that by going and working with yourself and how you work, you're going to have a lot more ease within your life.
And I want to know, what are usually common catalysts that people would come to you with, or that would incline them to come and see you? Would it be when they're in a desperate state, or do people usually come prior to that when maybe they're slightly stressed out and they think, you know what, maybe I can work on myself before?
Yes, of course, there are some different desperate state situations, but I find it most happens when people are just done with where they're at. And this could be from that desperation, from thinking they're so stressed, so overwhelmed. But others come in and they realize that there's more. They see that curiosity, see the questions. Like myself, when I saw that money in the bank account, being like, there's got to be more to life. Like, what else is there? There's a lot of individuals that come to me with that question. And by diving into these three steps, we really understand what it is that they can step into. What can they create in their life that is really in alignment for themselves?
And you say you mostly cater to middle-aged women. Can you tell me about some of the previous clients you've worked with and what have been struggles for them? So maybe other middle-aged women who are listening to this podcast can relate.
Yes, of course. Yes. Quite a few of the women that I work with have children, and that can be a big stressor in itself. And so a lot of the work that I do with my clients that have children is to remind them that they are a person as well. For so long with their children, they've been put on the back burner. But as their kids age, they're able to step into themselves once again. And that's something unknown, something that's foreign. And so there's one client that I'm thinking of that she had a hard time with growing her business and balancing the kids and putting it all together. She couldn't find that time and space to be able to dedicate to each and felt like she was being a bad mom because she was either trying to juggle everything or stressed or overwhelmed and couldn't be present with them. And so we helped her to find some time and space for herself. One of her homework assignments was to watch a show, to watch The Bachelor for a little bit just to depress, just to relax. And she was so reluctant and so hesitant to do so because she knew that she needed to get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, all the different things done before she could relax. And so we're able to show her that when she was able to prioritize herself, that she could show up and be a better mother. She could have more patience with her kids when her daughter kept on asking, why did this happen? What's going on? All different questions, and be able to take time and space to be able to be present with them.
And for middle-aged women who are trying to juggle family obligations as well as work, would you suggest that maybe they try and combine the two in a sense where maybe they tell their family about their work, they share with it at the dinner table, or what are some other strategies they could use?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I mentioned that I think it's super important for mothers is to be able to make sure that they prioritize themselves. This may mean talking about their work at the dinner table. It may mean setting boundaries with work and maybe setting boundaries with our partner and saying, I need to be on this call. Can you take care of the kids? And telling them exactly what that looks like. So boundaries are super important for all of us, but especially for mothers because they're juggling so much within their lives.
And on top of that, I'm wondering for middle-aged women, are there other struggles that you've found, or is that the most common struggle? Are middle-aged women going through menopause or other hormonal changes and how to deal and cope with those?
Yes, a bit. So most of the women I actually work with are a little earlier, so in their 30s, early 40s. So they may be perimenopause or a little on the earlier side. But yes, that adds a whole nother dynamic of their changing bodies and how it affects them. And a big thing that I work with them on is self-compassion, understanding that it's okay that you feel the way that you do. It actually makes sense because your body is changing, your hormones are changing, your life is changing, things are changing in your life so drastically, and that's okay. And also understanding that other people are going through similar things. Every woman will go through this. And so understanding that they're not alone and reaching out to community can go a long way to be able to help support them. I also find that middle-aged women are quite stressed and overwhelmed. They have held on to so many different expectations throughout their whole life, and they're done. They know that there's more, that they're questioning everything that they have seen and heard, and their body and mind are saying, no, this isn't it. And so with that stress and overwhelm, sense of overwhelm, it's helping them see that there's another way, that they can live their life in different ways. Even if money is tight or their relationship is holding them back or there's so many different things, it all starts with them and their belief that they can have something that they want. And once you're able to own that and really understand that, then you can step into the next stages of what it is that you want and making it happen.
Now I'd like to transition into the topic of your book, Soar. Tell me why you wrote that book and what it's about, how it relates to your empowerment coaching.
Yes, it is about those three steps I mentioned, really understanding yourself, feeling that worthiness, and getting after what it is that you want. And I wrote it because I was seeing the same issues time and time again with the individuals I was working with. They were all feeling stressed. They were feeling like perfectionist and having imposter syndrome and all these different things. And I knew I needed to get out there on a bigger scale because these weren't issues that my clients were only facing. There's so many people that were facing it. And to be able to get into a format that is more accessible to so many more people, I just wanted to be able to share all the stories, all the lessons, all the skills that I've been able to acquire over the years and be able to provide it to more people.
And I'm wondering, while you were writing this book, did you take jot notes down in a notebook while you were working with your clients? Or how did you find all this information? Did you do research prior to writing the book?
It was all based off of my work with my previous client, all the different thoughts that I've had over the years. It was beautiful because it came as it was. I'm a writer by trade almost now. The social media I do, with all these different things that I have done over the years, I love to write and express myself in different ways. And so I started with an idea of and figuring out what different things does a perfectionist woman need to know, need to understand to be able to move beyond it. And so I jotted down different notes, different ideas, thought about different things. Oh, this needs to go in. This doesn't need to go in. So many different ideas and concepts, and then beefing it all together with the stories of my clients over the years that I've coached individuals, and being able to present in a way that's really relatable to so many different people with those examples, with providing clear instructions on how to do the different activities. It was a beautiful thing that came together that unfolded over time. Initially, I didn't know what was going to happen with it, but I just had to write and start to get everything together. And once I started, things start to fall into place. And so it was beautiful to see it all come together and for me to see it on a Kindle and to see, oh, there's the book, there's it all together. It was beautiful.
Yes. And for any perfectionists who are tuning into this podcast, I'm a bit guilty. Can you share some practical tips or tricks you can use to combat perfectionism?
Yeah, my favorite one that I've actually already mentioned is self-compassion. So really understand that it makes sense how you're feeling, what you're thinking, what you're going through. And oftentimes we think we need to like push away those thoughts and be like, I need to move beyond them. I can't think those thoughts. But when you're able to give them space and presence, those doubts, those questions, those ideas that you need to be behaving in a certain way, when you really understand where they're coming from, it provides freedom to see that and to realize, oh, that was a thought from my childhood. My mom told me to do that always. Oh, my old boss told me to do that. When you're able to see that it actually makes sense, you can stop blaming yourself for how you're showing up and show up in ways that allow you to be free. Because once you're able to see what's occurring, what's going on, you can decide if that's how you want to live your life moving forward or not. And oftentimes it's not, because we see that, we understand where it's coming from, and we can move beyond it.
Yes. And for someone who might have negative thoughts on a continuous basis, maybe it's every day, every hour, whatever, how can you rewire your brain to be more positive?
Yes, it is a continuous journey. I feel it myself sometimes as well. So know that you are not alone in that process. Rewiring those thoughts, the first step is to understand what they are. If you don't understand what those thoughts are, then you can't go ahead and change them. So make a list of the thoughts that are holding you back, that make you question life. Is it feeling like you're not good enough? That you should be doing something else? That you don't know what you're doing and that's not working? What are those thoughts that are really holding you back? And be able to see them for what they are and where they're coming from. And then decide for yourself that you're done, that you don't want to be thinking that anymore. And each time you see yourself thinking those, remind yourself, no, I'm done with this. This is not my life. This is not my future. I'm not living by this thought anymore. And decide what it is that you want to think. What is it that you want to believe? Do you want to believe that you're on the right path, that you're doing the right thing, that everything is working out for you, that you're a success? What are those thoughts that you can actually get on board with now and be able to start to believe for yourself? And the more you can tell yourself that I'm done with those old thoughts, this is the life that I want to live, and really own the thoughts and beliefs that you want to create within your life, the better. And one of my favorite ways to be able to do this is actually through movement and through music. So there's an exercise created by Mama Gina called Swamping, and it's to play three songs. The first song is an angry song. Second song is a sad song. And the third song is an excited celebration hype song. And so by moving through those three songs in sequential order, you're able to move through the emotions of anger, of doubt, of fear, of the sadness, of depression, of all these different emotions, and allow your body to express them through movement. And that allows you to get those out in healthy ways. And then at the end, putting on that celebration song and allowing yourself to think and believe and own those thoughts that you want to create in your life. When you get your body and see the situation, that's when you're able to see more lasting and drastic changes within your life.
Yes, and I'm not sure if you do this, but I've heard that some people in the morning, they either do some journaling or sometimes people stick like a little sticky note on their mirror. So when they go to brush their teeth, they're filled with positivity. Do you have a morning routine that you'd give to your clients to make them feel empowered?
Yeah, it depends on the individual. And that's one of the reasons why I love human design, is I can see it and understand what are going to be affirmations that are going to be best suited to them. How is it best that they may go about installing these beliefs for themselves? All the things that you mentioned, the sticky notes, the morning routine, the journaling, are beautiful and wonderful ways. But I love to be able to meet my clients with where they're at, what's accessible for them in the moment. Some beautiful times to be able to access this and to be able to change your thoughts and your beliefs is first thing in the morning when you wake up and right before bed. Those are golden opportunities to change those thoughts and beliefs, because your thinking mind, your processing mind is a little quieted. So that means that you're going to question and doubt less the new thoughts that you want to believe. So you're able to have a little more control over the thoughts and beliefs that you want to believe and install. And so during those times, do what works for you. It could be meditating, it could be journaling, it could be movement and dancing. But right before bed and first thing in the morning are golden opportunities to be able to change your life into what it is that you want.
Okay, thank you so much. I'm wondering, where can people find you if they want to connect with you, or if they want to check out your website, social media channels? How or what are they?
Yes. You can, my website is afulfilledlifecoaching.com/explore. And you can find me mostly on Facebook with my name, Mikkel Leslie.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much. And please do check Mikkel out. Give her some love. Give her some support. Ask her questions. And thanks for tuning in. We'd hope to see you next time. And if you like this podcast, want more episodes like this, please leave a review and share with a friend or family member. Thank you so much. Treat me the right way. Always love, loving for me, loving for me.